Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today we start a new chapter, a short chapter. Babu karahatil istinja'i bil yamini wa massil farji bil yamini min ghairi udhrin. The chapter on the dislike, the undesirability of cleaning the private parts with the right hand and touching the private parts when a person would need to make istinja, when he need to clean himself, then he would need to touch his private parts. So at that time, touching the private parts with the right hand for no reason. Yeah, for no reason, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought this, min ghayri udhrin, for no reason. In other words, if a person, for example, has only got one hand, he's only got the right hand. Now he's got a reason for using the right hand because that's his only hand. The person may have broken his left hand and now the only hand that he's got to use that is workable at the moment is the right hand. So a person may use his right hand because now he's got a reason. But unnecessarily, Allah Ta'ala has blessed a person with two hands. Now to use the right hand for istinja, to touch his private part, etc., this is something that is not right. This is something that is disliked. So karahat means makruh. It's makruh to do this unnecessarily, to use the right hand to touch the private part, etc. So you find in Islam, the beauty of Islam is Islam has brought such level of refinement that has never ever been seen and will never be seen. In other words, when a person is coming into the masjid, what foot you must use to come into the masjid, Islam has created that distinguishing, or has, Islam has distinguished which foot a person should come into the masjid. The different limbs, Allah Ta'ala has created a farq. Allah Ta'ala has distinguished between the different limbs of the body. Allah has given respect, extra respect and izzat to the right hand side. So when a man is entering the masjid, he'll enter with the right foot. When he's leaving the masjid, he'll leave with the left foot. And the opposite is when a person is going to the toilet, he'll enter with the left foot and he'll leave with the right foot. Like that, all clean things that we use, for example, when we're eating, then we'll eat with the right hand. So like that, when we are turning the pages of the Quran Sharif, we'll turn it with the right hand. We'll find in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, person is carrying his shoes, carries it with the left hand. So things that are clean, we are taught to use the right hand. Things that are generally regarded as dirty, not so clean, we use the left hand. Now look at the cleanliness that Islam is teaching. The West, there's no such idea, no such thought that use the right hand. And not only use the right hand, wash it also before eating, wash it after eating. Wash, a person washes his hands when he's making wudu. A person washes his hands after he comes out of the toilet. A person washes his hands when he's taking a bath. So much of beauty Islam has brought as far as cleanliness is concerned, that the West have got absolutely no idea. Sometimes when they perceive there's some virus, then they talk about washing hands and staying safe and keeping away from germs. But Islam has taught this long, long time ago, how to stay safe, how to keep clean, how to keep oneself pure from every type of germs. There was one brother here who was staying in the old home. He passed away. Now Allah Ta'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus. So he was a Catholic Christian that had accepted Islam. So on one occasion, his father, when he accepted Islam, his father was rebuking him that, what is all this now? You want to start washing in the toilet, you want to wash yourself. What is all this new things you are introducing? So he said, I thought to myself that let me try and explain to my father in a nice way. So he told his father, you see, that try and clean this toilet pan with tissue. You only use tissue on yourself to clean yourself. After you use the toilet, try and use tissue to clean the toilet pan and see how difficult it is to clean the pan with tissue, to such an extent that how many liters of water you use to flush this one pan. So this pan that is so far away from your body, you're using so much of water to clean the pan, that body of yours, you only want to use tissue. And that too, the tissue doesn't take out all the dirt, therefore you have to use water. So water is a natural disinfectant, or now water is a natural cleanser that Allah Ta'ala has given us. So therefore, if you can use water on the pan, why can't we use water on ourselves? He said, my father kept quiet and he realized that what I'm saying is the right thing. So sometimes if we just use a little bit of our brains and logic, we'll realize how beautiful Islam is. The West, they'll use enough water on their pan and use water in their bathtub, etc. But on themselves, they are plastered with so much of filth and dirt. So this is the beauty of Islam. At a time when people were burying their daughters alive, at the time when people were making tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif naked, when there was no values, no system, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in such a short period of time brought such a high level of refinement. Therefore, we shouldn't feel any type of inferior complex that we do so many things differently. They are eating with a fork, they are eating with a knife, we are eating with our fingers and our hands. So beautiful. There's so many benefits of eating. One is, if a person uses a fork and he doesn't put it properly in his mouth, or he misdirects it, he can hurt his gums, he can hurt his lips with the fork. With the finger, naturally soft. With the finger, you can lick it so nicely and you can clean your fingers. With the fork, a person, that the residue that is there, that there's no barakat in it, there's no barakat in the licking the residue that's left on the fork. Allah Ta'ala has made it such that licking the fingers is a sunnah. So like that, you'll find, as far as the fingers are concerned, it's able to grip and hold the food nicely. That fork is so fixed and rigid in its way that sometimes it can grip, sometimes it can't grip. Some food it can grip, some food it can't grip. The fingers, naturally Allah Ta'ala has made it like a scoop. It grips the food easily, takes the food easily, brings it to the mouth easily, doesn't hurt the mouth. The other benefit of the fingers by using the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is you can gauge the temperature of the food. If that person has put the food onto a fork onto a hot piece of meat, he can't gauge the temperature until it hits his mouth. Then he gets burnt and then he pulls it back. But the person God is using his fingers, he can gauge the temperature of the food. He can realize what that food is like. He can feel the texture of the food. He can feel how hard it is. If, for example, in the piece of meat there's a bone or something sharp, the finger will pick it up, the fork won't pick it up. So Allah Ta'ala has made it such so beautiful. Allah has given us a natural way of eating, natural way of sleeping, natural way of going to the toilet, natural way of progressing as far as our life is concerned in this world. And Allah will give us progress, inshallah, if we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as far as akhirat is concerned. So this chapter, although it only speaks about the use of the right hand, it gives us an indication of the high level of beauty that is left in our Mubarak Deen. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi has just brought one hadith under this chapter. An Abi Qatada radiyallahu anhu anin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam qal, إذا بال أحدكم فلا يأخذن ذكره بيمينه ولا يستنج بيمينه ولا يتنفس في الإناء متفق عليه. حضرت أبو قتادة رضي الله عنه narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when any one of you urinates, he should not touch his private part with his right hand, nor should he clean himself with the right hand. He should also not breathe into a drinking vessel. This hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif and in Muslim Sharif. One thing that we learn from here, one is the person doesn't use his right hand to touch his private part, to clean himself, obviously to pick up the jug, etc. There's no harm in using the right hand, but actually cleaning the mess on a person, cleaning himself and making istinja, then he uses the left hand. One other thing we learn from this hadith is, do not breathe into a drinking vessel. The person is drinking, he should not breathe into that vessel. You should not blow, exhale into the vessel itself. For example, a glass. Don't breathe into the glass. Don't blow into the glass. Now just look at the beauty of this one teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They were living in a time when there was no computers and there was no electronic gadgetry to test what is coming out of the mouth, what a human is exhaling, what he is inhaling, what's healthy, what's not healthy. These were things that were not tested in that time. It was a time that there was no computers, there was no electronic, there was no gadgetry, there was no modernization in terms of scientific equipment. But what a beautiful teaching Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us, that do not exhale into that utensil that you are drinking from. Later on, scientists now say that when a person is breathing in, he breathes in oxygen, and when he's exhaling, then he's exhaling carbon dioxide. And that carbon dioxide is something that is not very healthy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a very simple way, don't exhale into the utensil. In other words, don't fill in that utensil with those things that are not healthy for you to consume. Automatically, beautifully, in such a way. Now, if this was not something that was via wahi, was not divine, how would a person be able to tell, don't do this, in a time when there was absolutely no scientific invention as far as all these things are concerned? Testing what is being exhaled, what's in the air, what a person. So this shows the beauty of Islam, the beauty of our deen. Therefore we should never ever have this inferiority complex when we see the West doing things, see their lifestyle, see the culture. We must realize that Allah Ta'ala has given us the best, and we must be happy and proud to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam without doubting in the benefits, whether we realize it or whether we didn't. Imagine if the people at that time now, they say, you know, what is this? We mustn't exhale into the utensil. Later on, when it comes to the light, then although we do it 100% because it's a sunnah, whether later on it comes to the light or it comes to the four, what is one of the hikmats and the beauty of this, it's immaterial. But when we are told to do a sunnah, we believe fully that in the sunnah is a lot of hikmat and a lot of wisdom, whether we understand it or not. Sometimes scientifically it's realized many, many years later, and sometimes it's not even realized. But it is definitely no doubt in every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.